Hello, this is Pastor Travis from Unity Church Magnolia. We want to thank you for joining us today for this week's podcast. We pray that it will encourage you and strengthen you for your journey with Christ. We hope to see you soon. God bless you as you listen. So this morning I'm going to start a series with a very simple title. It's called Words. Somebody say words. How many know words can be a very powerful thing? Your words can be a very powerful thing, and it can shape the course of your life. It can change, literally change the course of history. Think about the Constitution of the United States of America. It's constructed of words, but yet here we are in 2019, still living the effects of the words that were written down by our forefathers. Words can be a very powerful thing, and it can shape your life. And so we want to start the year making sure that we are using our words in the way that God would want us to. We're going to speak about words that heal, words that kill, words that build, and words that create. And I'm telling you, once we get, I feel like we're going to lay a foundation. The first 2 weeks, we're going to lay a foundation. But you better get ready for words that build and words that create. Because this is going to be the key that unlocks prosperity in your life for 2019, okay? And so we're believing that. So I want to start with a scripture, Proverbs 18, verse 21. Scripture that most of us, if you've been in a Pentecostal or charismatic or non-denominational movement, you know this scripture, you can probably quote it, but it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power and the tongue of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. One time I was praying, and I was having a hard time controlling my words. Is anybody with me? Does anybody ever have a hard time controlling your words? It's like you're on the phone with an idiot, and I can say that because the Bible calls people idiots, so I feel justified saying that. I'm just saying, right? Okay, so I'll tell you this. One time, Pamela was correcting Seth. Those that have been with us for a while have probably heard this, but this is gonna be new for some of you. One time, Seth, wave at everybody, Seth. He said, "I'm not doing it." One time, Pamela was correcting Seth. He was, I don't even know what he was doing. It doesn't even matter. She was correcting him. And Seth is a very sharp guy. I mean, the boy makes like straight A's, and I never see a book, right? I mean, he's a sharp guy. And so he walked in the kitchen, and he said, "Mom, the Bible says," or no, I'm sorry. He corrected his mom. I'm getting the story all mixed up. He corrected his mom. His mom said something and she said it wrong, and he corrected her, and she said, "Boy, don't you be correcting me." Right? Hey, Pamela's like a black lady wrapped in a white package, right? "Boy, don't you be correcting me. You're about to wipe the white right off your face," right? And so She's not. I'm telling you, man, she's scary. All right, now look, she corrected him, and he walked right back in the kitchen. He said, "Mom, the Bible says that anybody that hates correction is an idiot." I got on Google. I was like, "Does it really say that?" What do you say to that? I don't know, right? But one time I was. You know, on the phone call, and I'm like, "God, why did you entrust me with words that are powerful?" Because sometimes my words are not constructive. Is anybody with me? My words are not constructive, and I don't like to be corrected, and I don't like, you know, all of these things. And here's the deal. The Bible tells us that God gave us the keys to the kingdom. And in order to unlock things in your life, those keys are manifested through your words, what you speak. So God has given us the ability and the power to speak things in a positive way. Now, I want to preface this message by saying, I am not a blab it, grab it, name it, claim it slap it, flap it kind of preacher. Because I believe that the Bible says whatever you pray according to his will, right? But God has given us the ability to speak words that are very powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, there is some fruit that I love. I love kiwis. I love apples and oranges and grapefruits and different things like that. But there are some fruits. I was in Nicaragua one time, and this guy shimmied up a coconut tree and knocked a coconut down for us and broke it open and tasted it. And guess what? That thing tastes like bark. Tastes like I was chewing on a piece of bark. I don't like coconut fresh from a tree. But I want to tell you, whatever you speak, you better be ready to eat that. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. But then guess what? The Bible says you get to eat that sucker. Whatever you're speaking, you also get to eat. So I want to pray over this word, and then I want to dig in. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word that is true, that is alive, that is sharper than a double-edged sword, that can penetrate bone and marrow, God. God, I pray that it will speak to every heart and change every life. In Jesus' name, everybody shouted, amen. Can you give the Lord praise? Can you give the worship team a hand? Hey, JR had to slip out. He's doing double duty. He played drums here this morning. Now he's going over to, I think, Unity AME. Is that right? And playing drums over there for them. And so, it's kingdom business, right? And so we appreciate him filling in. Also, we have Matt Martin here, who I believe I can say this without getting in too much trouble because I've got the microphone and Sheila is too far to slap me. So she said, no, I'm not. You just think I am, right? But many of you do not know, but Matt was diagnosed with cancer at the end of last year and had to go through a surgery a couple of weeks ago. And I just want to say in 2018, he was diagnosed late in 2018, and in 2018, he became completely and totally cancer-free. Can we give God praise for that? So we gave him 2 weeks off out of courtesy. We gave him 2 weeks off, and I called him yesterday and talked to him, and he said, Pastor, I really probably could have played today since I was building on my Jeep all day yesterday. So he's going to be back next week. So we're excited about that. The worship team is going to be practicing. We've got 3 new songs we're going to be learning next week. It's going to be awesome. So we're speaking about words that heal this morning. Somebody say words that heal. Words, as we have already established, have power. The death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we know that kind words have the power to bring healing to your body. Do you know that? Kind words have the power to bring healing to your body. And so what we must understand is that if kind words have the power to bring healing, then bitter words have the power to bring sickness and disease. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but people that are bitter and angry and hateful all the time usually are not very healthy. Right? They're on medications, and I'm not, please understand me that I'm not in any way saying that if you're dealing with a sickness this morning that it's because you've been unkind. I don't believe that. Now, that is a charismatic teaching that we don't stand on, but I am telling you that the fact of the Word of God is that if you speak kind words, it can bring and cultivate health in your body. Proverbs 16:24 in the ESV says this: gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. I feel bad for people who walk in church every week with a scowl on their, is that the right word, scowl on their face. They look like a pirate from Pirates of the Somebody better talk to me this morning, or I'm going to jackknife them right in there, right? Okay, and so I feel bad for people like that. But I love to be around people that say, hey, good morning. Welcome to Unity Church. We're excited that you're here this morning. Man, is there anything we can do for you? We've got plenty of open seats. Look around. And we want you to be comfortable and feel excited to be here because God's going to do something powerful in your life today. Did anybody enjoy the greeters this morning? It was like an army of them out there, right? Pastor Quay turned Alex and Cecilia loose on greeters, and we've got the greeters that have been active, plus some. And man, I walked out, and they were like, hey, Pastor Travis, we're glad you're here today. I'm like, whoo, been here since 7:30. That's good, or 8 o'clock. That's good. I love to be around people who are gracious and kind. And for God's sakes, the church should be a place where you find gracious and kind people. Gracious words are like a honeycomb. They're sweet. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. You see, Jesus uses his words to heal the sick. He's given us an example here. He's using his words to bring healing to the sick. In Matthew 8, 5 through 13, it says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. And Jesus said to him, I love this. Seems so kind and gracious. He said, hey, shall I come and heal him? Jesus, this guy's sick. He's paralyzed at home. And I need you to come and heal him. But a lot of times, we're more like the people that passed the man on the road. And we say, I don't have time. There's this movement that went through the charismatic culture that said, well, if you're sick, you must have done something wrong. Where's your faith? Jesus said, oh, okay. Well, shall I come heal him? Then the centurion replied, Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. Slap somebody and say, you better start saying the right words. Graciously slap them, right? And my servant will be healed. You better look at who's sitting next to you before you slap them. I got to tell you the story. Just bear with me. It's the first Sunday of the year, and I hadn't seen you in a long time, right? So we're at district council having a great time playing cards or Farkle or something like that. And now we weren't putting any money on the table, but we were just having a good time, right? So don't think we were gambling. We were not at the boats. And so, I texted Sandra the other day. She's selling her house. And she's selling her house so that we can get another bedroom for little Miss Addie. She thinks she needs a bed. And so she's sleeping in the office right now, so in our home office. And so she has slept in my office before, but the problem is if we bring the babies to work, nobody ever gets anything done. So, all right. So anyway, she's selling her house, and somebody's wanting to look at her house. It's late on a Saturday, and so I text her. I said, hey, somebody's wanting to show the house, and I get a text back. Said, sorry, I can't talk right now. I'm at the boats. I said, okay, well, don't lose too much. She was at a ball game for her granddaughter, and her son had her phone, and I thought he'd have some fun with that. So I just said, hey, just don't lose everything. All right, and if you tie, if you win, I'm not one of those preachers that won't take the tithe, man. Hey, this is like pork. I'll pray over it, and we'll take it. You know what I'm saying? God bless it in Jesus' name. Break the curses off. We'll take it. Do not go to the boats in pastor's name. It's sinful. Sinful. Trick of the devil. Take your money. Okay. All right. It's a tithe on the rich, or tithe on the poor, right? Or tax. Tax on the poor. That's what it is. All right. So I got to move on because I'm not making any friends. All right. Verse 9 says, for I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And see, this guy, he gets it. He says, I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. You see, he understands. I'm a man under authority, but I have authority to speak a word, and my servants obey what I command them to do. So this brought everything into perspective for me. I say, God, why have you given me the power and the ability to mess up my life with the words that come out of my mouth? And he said, I didn't give you the power to mess it up so that you can mess it up. I gave you the power so that you can create health and prosperity in your life. Because you are a man under my authority. And I have given you authority to speak the word and for things to happen. So the authority does not stop with me. Now, man, this brought me some peace in my life. The authority doesn't stop with me. The buck does not stop here. The buck stops there. So I say, I am answering to a higher authority. And if I speak and command, somebody says, well, I don't understand why I speak to sickness and it doesn't leave. Because there's a higher authority over you. And if he didn't say it, then we don't have the authority to speak it ourselves. So Pastor Quay, come here, Pastor Quay. Let everybody look at you, man. He's the better looking of this duo, right? All right, he's still got his hair and good looks and all that. My kids took all mine. So he has the authority to speak and things happen. He has the authority to ask people to do things, and they do it. And he had the authority to ask Alex and Cecilia to oversee greeters because I gave him that authority. And I was able to give him that authority because God gave me the authority to give him the authority to give Alex and Cecilia the authority, who had called people all week long and gave them the ability and the authority to be in the foyer greeting people, smiling, handing them things, things like that. This is how authority works. Can you give Pastor Quay a hand? That's the best kind of illustration where you don't have to do anything, right? This is the way authority works. So God says, hey, I'm giving you authority to speak words that have power of death and life. I'm giving you that authority, but there is still an authority that is still in control. And whenever we mess up and get it wrong, guess what? There's grace and mercy from on high that says, hey, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to keep you safe. But God expects us and requires us to practice, not habitual sin, which is many times manifested through your words. But giving us the power, the ability, the authority to speak life and truth and health and wellness to our bodies. Can somebody say amen? Jesus, when he heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Now we would say, man, who are people of great faith? Man, people who can come and lay their hands on the sick and God knock them out under the power of God and then be healed and wake up saying, Shokadabai, shake it, obey, they're hit by the power and filled with the baptism. They're like, man, that is a man of great power and faith. But can I tell you who Jesus considers great and powerful and full of faith? It's people who understand the authority of Scripture and the authority of the words spoken by Jesus Christ. It says, but the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whoa, what a turn. He says, hey, people who understand the power of words, people who understand my authority, people who understand the authority that comes from on high, man, they are going to be, listen, it says, they will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and in the kingdom of heaven. But those that are subject to subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In verse 13, listen to this. Then Jesus said, somebody say said, to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. Do you really believe that the words that Jesus speaks are truth? The words found in this book are truth. When God says it, I believe it. Put the stamp of seal on it. That settles it. Somebody say words are powerful. So let's look at some words that heal. Matthew 8, 14 through 16, it says, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she got up and began to wait on him. It wasn't a gradual healing. It was an instantaneous healing. In verse 16 it says, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a... All right, push on somebody and say, you got to wake up. This will go a lot quicker if you can wake up and help me this morning. He drove out the spirits with a... Not by... laying hands, spitting, doing a rain dance around them, you know, and all this. He just said, hey, go in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Listen, the way I pray for people when they come up for sickness, how many of you have ever been prayed for because of a sickness or something or a disease or a pain or something you've had in your body? Can I ask you this? How many of you have been healed by the power of God before? Can you raise your hand anywhere in this room? Ever? Come on, raise your hand. Look at that. All over this room, there's been people healed by the power of God. Whenever I pray for healing in somebody's life, we don't spend a long time on it. I simply ask, what's the problem? Well, my left shoulder hurts. Okay, then I want you to raise God, and I want raise your hands, and I want you to pray this prayer. God, I believe that your word is true, that by your stripes, I am healed. That's what the Bible says. By stripes, we're healed. And so, we just speak the word. And then I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, we believe that your word is true. And that by your stripes, we are healed. And it says that you were beaten and bruised for my iniquities. And the chastisement of my peace is upon you. And I believe that we are healed. Not we will be healed. I believe if the Bible says that we are healed, that we are healed, right? And so we believe that. And so we just speak the word, and then I say, okay, was your left shoulder hurting before? Yes. Is it hurting now? And almost every single time, no, it's much better. You know why? Because the word still works. Somebody shout, the word works. We've just got to learn to speak the right words. Listen, it says he drove out all the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. Is it God's will for you to be healed? Is it God's will for you to be healed? Is it God's will for you to be healed? He healed all that were sick. There were other times in Scripture it says he went into a city and healed all the sick. Can you imagine Jesus coming into Magnolia and healing every single sick person? That's his will. Well, I just don't know, Pastor, if it's my will for me to be healed or not. This may just be the penalty of my sin. I just don't know. Maybe God wants me to suffer. What kind of God are you serving? It's his will that all be healed. That's his will for your life. Well, why am I not healed? Again, I don't know. It could be for a lot of reasons. I don't know. I'm not God. I don't want to be. I don't know. But I do know that if we can learn how to use our words wisely, that God can do some powerful things in our life. Can God, somebody say amen. You see, you've got to take authority over your sickness with words. I want you to listen to these next two points very closely. Take authority over your sickness with your words. Somebody needs to write that down, and you need to put it on a post-it note, and you put it on a mirror in your bathroom and say, I take authority over sickness. And I want you to just begin to say that. I take authority over sickness. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. Do you know the Bible says that we are to pray like this, your will be done on earth as it is in... Somebody say, your will be done. Come on, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there sickness in heaven? Is there disease in heaven? Is there heartache in heaven? What is his will on earth? The same thing. That just opened somebody's eyes right now. I felt it. I never saw it like that. Let that be revelation to you this morning. God is wanting to unlock his will in your life. Take authority over sickness with your words. And second point here. Quit coming into agreement with sickness. Quit coming into agreement with sickness. And can I say this? Now, I didn't write this down, but it just came to me. Quit taking possession of sickness. Never once did I hear Verna say, my cancer. I don't even like, I have a cold. Because you know what you just did? You said, just like, I have a connection card. You're saying, I take hold of a cold. Now, you may be experiencing cold-like symptoms, right? But the minute you take possession of it, you know what? Now you're attached to it. The things that I take possession of, you almost form an emotional bond with it. Never once did I hear Verna say, my cancer. I heard her say, I'm about to beat cancer. I'm about to get rid of cancer. Cancer's about to leave my body in Jesus' name. And I saw her dance all over the face of cancer. She got the moves too, man. No. Don't take possession of it, because now what you're doing is you're saying, I own it. It's mine. No. Don't do that. Don't take possession. Don't take possession and quit coming into agreement with it. If you are experiencing the symptoms of sickness or disease in your body, don't be a faker. Don't walk in here beat down and in pain in your body and say, oh no, I'm fine, Pastor. I've never been better. Right? No, don't do that. Don't do that. Say, hey, Pastor, I have been suffering with these symptoms. Can you pray for me? Because the Bible says if there's any sick among you, then bring them before the elders of the church and anoint them with oil, and they shall be healed. Right? And so we got to be real, but don't take possession of it and don't come into agreement with it and speak the word that by his stripes we are. Thirdly, never, ever, ever rehearse the curse. Don't rehearse the curse. Now, I just said, don't be lying, don't be faking. But whenever I go into the doctor's office and they give me a form to fill out, and it asks me if any of these diseases run in my family, I'm not about to check one of them boxes. I'm just telling you. Now, I'm not, you do what you feel like you need to do. You do what you feel like you need to do. I'm just telling you, I don't check. Does diabetes run in your family? No. Jesus didn't have diabetes. All right. Does high blood pressure run? No. Does cancer? No. Nope. Now, have people that have went on before me experienced some of these problems? Yes. But whenever I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I believe with all of my heart that I partook in a blood transfusion that says that by His stripes we are healed. Now, I'm just saying, don't rehearse the curse. Please, if you are a blood-bought Christian, do not blow up Facebook. Now, obviously, I'm talking to the adults because the teenagers aren't on Facebook anymore. Don't be Snapchatting a selfie of yourself saying, I don't know if I'm going to make it through the day or not. My head's just exploding and it's called with a bunch of sad emojis on it. Some green puke faces, right? Please, you're killing your testimony. You're killing the testimony of this church, because I want this church to be known as a place where the sick can be brought in and we can pray the prayer of faith and they will be healed. You can't come to church on Sunday and jump up and down and clap your hands and write, "Oh, you are the God that healeth me. You're by your stripes I'm healed." And then you go home before you ever make it to your house. You're posting about your headache on Facebook. Come on. Look at somebody and say, "Come on." Okay. I forgot my watch at home, so I really did. I looked for it. I didn't forget it. I couldn't find it. So Job 22:28 says this. Now I believe Job kind of has some authority on this, right? And God, when He's speaking to Job, I believe has some very profound thoughts. I would really encourage you, go home and read the book of Job. I know it's a little discouraging and depressing in parts. Read the book of Job. Read it all the way through and see how God treats sickness and disease in our life. And see what God thinks about people who are rehearsing the curse. Job 22:28 says this, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon." Is there more to that verse? I feel like I'm missing part of the sentence. You see, when God says you shall decree a thing and it shall be established, it says that decree, if you look it up, it means an official order issued by a legal authority. A legal order issued, an official order issued by a legal authority. And so once we understand that God has given us authority, just like the centurion man that came to Jesus, he understood that Jesus had the authority to speak a word, to decree a thing, and that it would be established at that moment, because it's an official order issued by a legal authority. Do you understand that God has given you legal jurisdiction over your body by the word of God? That if you can speak the word of God and speak on it and stand on it and really believe it, the problem is the enemy knows if you really believe it or not. Listen, that's why when you go to basic training in the army, they don't give you a drill sergeant that says, "Hey man, if you don't mind, I'd like for you to do some push-ups." Right? "Hey man, Alex, if you don't mind, I'd like for you to get down and give me 20 right now." Right? He could. See, me and Alex have been in a competition. I told you a few months back that God was really dealing with me about my body, and I lost 10 pounds over Christmas. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for that. And so, but also that God wants us to prosper in health and in our bodies, just as He does our soul, right? And so we started exercising. My family started exercising, doing stretches and push-ups and crunches and all these different things. And so every day we do this. And so, I remember the first push-up. I collapsed. on the way down, the first one. I got down there. I was like, all right, I'm going to do some push-ups. And so I got it. I was like, okay, I'll try again tomorrow, right? And then I got so excited when I got to five. That was exciting, man. I was like, ah, I can do five push-ups. I mean, it had been a while since I worked out, right? And so I could do five push-ups, and then I could do 10 and 15 and 20. And I was excited. John Bevere really convicted me. How many did he drop and do? 70? He dropped and did 70 push-ups just like that, you know, and he's almost 60 years old now. And I was like, man, I feel convicted, you know. And so I was like, I'm about to do something about this body of mine. And so I started sending Alex a text bragging a little bit, you know. Man, did 20 push-ups tonight, boy. Very next day, he said, I did 21. So the next day, I said, I did 25. He said, I did 50. And then I did 75. And I mean, he did 75. And then before long, he said, I did 101. And so we had this competition going on. And yesterday, for the very first time, I did 75. Glory to God. But can I tell you what made the difference in my life? The first day I did, I was like, man, I've got to do something about my body. I'm going to get down and I'm going to do some push-ups. And I got down and did, and like I said, I collapsed. And then I was doing five, and I was like, man, this is embarrassing. I'm doing five push-ups. And this is crazy. You know, Pamela did 35 last night, I think. You know, so we're doing this thing. But you know what made the difference in my life? When I was like, you know what, I'm sick of this. I'm about to do 20 push-ups right now. I took some authority, right? But they don't give you a drill sergeant that says, hey, if you don't mind, I like it. They say, boy, get down there. Give me 20 now. Right? Right? He's been given some authority. And if you don't do it, you're about to get your butt kicked, right? The devil knows if you believe the word of God or not. And when you say sickness, I'm sick of you. You got to go. I believe the enemy's waiting on us to rise up and really believe what we are saying. Because until then, he don't give a flip what you say. It wasn't even in my notes. An official order issued by a legal authority. God has given you authority to speak to your body. Would you stand with me this morning? And we're going to practice this right here and now. Worship team, come. The word says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. You are going to lay the foundation for your miracle this morning. Because when you decree a thing, you better believe it's going to happen. How many of you believe if you decree a thing under the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, according to his word, it shall be established unto you? Now, I'm not talking about, I call forth a blue convertible, BMW, right? No, unless, custom spinners, that's what I'm talking about. I'll tell you what, though, if God tells you you're going to have a blue BMW with spinners, you better start decreeing that thing, right? The Lord spoke to me a while back through a prophet that I had never met in my life. I got to tell you the story. I know we're late, but please, I gave you two Wednesday nights off. Bear with me, okay? It's good. It's worth it. We were getting ready to go to court for Addie. We were told that she was leaving our home that day, that we were going to have court. They were going to take her and put her in another home. And we were getting ready to go to court, and we had a meeting at the DCFS office for visitation. Her family wanted to see her, and so we took her up there. Her family was visiting with her, and I had 1 hour, and I got on Facebook. Miss Donna, Pastor Donna had said that she wanted a snow cone machine, and I clicked on Facebook, and the very first ad that popped up was a snow cone machine. I think the phones listened to you or something. I don't know. And someone was selling that, and it was somebody that operates in the prophetic. I had never met them before. They'd never met me before. They had no idea who I was. And I went and bought that from them. And while I was there, the guy said, "Can I speak a word over you?" I was like, "Oh, Lord, I got one of them fruitcakes. I don't know. I never met them before. I don't know who they are." He said, "I want to speak a word to you." He said, "I saw you. When I saw you standing there with a prayer shawl around your neck." And I was like, "Oh, great. Here we go." A prayer shawl like they use in Israel, right? Around your neck. And there were people praying at your feet. And I was like, "Oh, I'm about to get out of here. I don't know. That sounds like it's woo." And I'm sitting there like, "Uh-huh." He said, "Not because they were praying to you, but because you've taught them how to pray. They weren't praying to you, they were praying with you, and you had taught them how to pray. And God is using the circumstance that you're going through right now to teach you how to pray." And I thought, "Whoa, now I'm listening." He said, "Do you have a daughter?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Is she a baby, like a baby daughter?" And I said, "Uh-huh." He said, "Is there something going on today that is testing your faith?" I was like, "Uh-huh." He said, "The Lord told me that which has been told to you is not going to come to pass." He said, "What's happening?" I said, "Well, we're going to court this afternoon, and they said they're going to take her from her home." He said, "You walk in that courtroom believing and knowing that she is going home with you and that she is going to be your daughter, because the Lord showed me standing next to you was your wife." He said, "I think she has long brown hair." He said, "She was standing next to you, and she had a little girl with her. She was very little, but she was older than she is now. And she was teaching her how to sing because she was preparing her to go on the mission field." And so you know what we started doing? We started calling her by our new name. Her name was Raven, but we started calling her Addie. We have a thankful jar at our house where every time God does something we're thankful for, which is often, we write it down on a piece of paper, we put it in the jar, and then at the beginning of the new year, we dump it all out and we read all the things that God did for us for the year. It's a pretty cool thing. But it was funny. There were cards in there that were saying Raven, and then all of a sudden, they started saying Addie. And I remember Isaac said last night, we were reading them last night. Was it last night? We were reading them. And he said, "Why were y'all putting Raven on there?" We're like, "Baby, because that was her name." That's never been her name. That's the first thing that rose up in my spirit. That may have been the name that was assigned to her, but that was never her name given by God. The name given by God was Adeline. And so we began to speak these things, and we began to declare them and decree them, that she was our daughter, and that God was going to raise her up in the house of God, and that she would be anointed, and that she would be saved at a very early age, just like our other kids, and that she would be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire and effective and fervent in ministry. These are the things that we declare over our kids. We decree these things. But I'm telling you, we established an official order because God gave us the authority to decree a thing and it be established unto us. And so we're going to decree this morning, then I'm going to let you go. Put that up on the screen, Susan. I want you to speak this with me. We did this last week with a different decree, and I enjoyed it so much, I want to do it again. I want you to say this with me. I'm a blood-bought citizen of the kingdom of God. I am chosen. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I am healed by the blood of Jesus. Sickness has no hold on me because of what Jesus did on the cross. I'm healed. I'm healthy, wealthy, and wise. I'm the head and not the tail. I am above. I am not beneath. I have jurisdiction over my body. And Satan has no authority over me. For it is by his stripes that I have been made whole. In Jesus' name. Somebody give him praise all over this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this week's podcast. If you were blessed by the message today, please join us by visiting us at ucmagnolia.com. You can see what's going on, you can give online, and you can be a part of what God's doing at Unity Church Magnolia. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.